We're going to go to questions from council members. We'd like to afford the council members an opportunity to ask a question, and the council members can ask a question of one of the persons, or they can ask the question of both of the persons. If it is a question just directed to one, we'll give the other person an opportunity to offer any perspectives that they might want to. So, Frank?
I guess in spite of what you just said, Mr. Bornstein, I guess that was the biggest question I had about some of the points you made in your presentation, is that unless harvesters are granted shares, they will have no incentive to work together to conserve the resource. And I guess I can't quite believe that. I'm probably mischaracterizing that. So I guess I would like you to explain in a little bit more detail, I guess, what's happening now, because that seems to imply that processors and fishermen are not now working together, or their incentives are not aligned to conserve the resource right now. And I guess I need to have a few more details on how granting harvester shares would improve that situation.
If I didn't have harvester shares, I wouldn't be part of it, and I wouldn't care. Outside of caring that there would be fish, because I wouldn't have any control over how and when and where they harvest, and because we're not part of the system. So if you're part of a system, then meaning okay, I get a fleet of boats, mm-hmm. and if they say I got to go fish somewhere, mm-hmm. so on day one they get quota, and I have no quota. Okay, so they're going to devise a plan, because they might want to go shrimping, they might want to go halibut fishing, they might want to do something else. They're going to devise their own plan how they're going to go out and harvest fish, and they go do it. And if I'm willing to take the fish, I'll take the fish. If I'm not willing to take it, they go someplace else or whatever, okay, on day one. So I have no control. In fact, we have, you know, only minimal control today. If everybody wants to fish the front end of a season, you know, we open up in October for a two-month season, or September, they want to fish now because they're going to go hunting. You know, so it's really difficult for a processor to be involved in something they have no right of participation. We have no right to participate, to tell them, well, I'm going to go out and fish my rock cod now, and I'm going to go fish my other stuff. I'm going to go fish this other stuff later. Now, if we planned it, and we planned market orders, and we structured it, is a different story. Then we have an opportunity to make all of those things work.
I understand that. Thank you. But how does that necessarily lead to less conservation for the resource?
I hope I didn't infer that there would be less conservation of the resource. I said we would maximize the conservation of the resource. I don't think there would be less in the sense that we have today, or less in the sense. I'm a firm believer in ITQs. They will help the resource, and it will help. I'm just pointing out that in maximum efficiency, because parts of that efficiency has to do with economics. Because in the system that I was a part of, up in BC, which I still am, the price of fish, it floats because of the quota. And when you can get it. In other words, when you can harvest it. You harvest to market. You have very strict plans. You email in twice a day how much you catch. You move them around. I mean, so there are some tremendous benefits there, but you have to be participating to that degree to maximize the efficiencies. That's what I meant.
Pete, would you like the opportunity to afford any other perspective on that question or the response?
Well, I guess the question, and maybe it's along the lines of Frank's question, is Jay does not have quota share now, but he buys fish. Fishermen have access to 100% of the fish, and everything seems to work. If fishermen have 100% of the fish in the future, I'm still unclear why that changes the world. And in all the regards, be it conservation or by his disruptive to the market, Jay can still buy the fish from the fishermen who had the quota share.
There's another council member who has a question. Kathy Fosmark.
This is a kind of a short question, but I'm familiar with Jay, actually, because we've sold albacore in the past, but very little, actually. But my question is, what percentage of your fish do you, I heard you mention that you buy from Canada, what percentage of your fish that you buy in Bellingham come from Canada?
Well, less and less. Speaking of being transitioned out of a fishery, it used to be about, I'd say, 60%. Now it's down to probably 10. I'm now a custom processor. I can't hang on to quota. And so it's probably 40% in dropping, if you count the custom processing work we get. Yeah.
Maria, another question?
Yes. Jay, I guess I'm a little, first of all, I need to find out whether what Pete said, that in no other IQ system have processors been initially allocated shares, and you mentioned the BC fishery. Is that the case in the BC fishery?
No. No, they went to the harvesters. It just so happened that 42% of the shares went to processors that owned boats because they were on the committee. But no, we went straight to the harvester. There was no, you know, and then the rest of the harvesters had to buy in, or anybody else had to buy in or transfer or whatnot.
Okay, then relative to that, down the road buying shares from harvesters, which you've experienced, how long did that kind of take to settle out? And this cooperative nature that you talk about in that fishery, I'm assuming is a result of some of those 68% or 58% that didn't get initial, they didn't own boats, so they didn't get shares right out of the chute. So some of those people are still in business and part of this cooperative nature. Is that true? They didn't disappear, the people who didn't own boats and get initial shares, the processors that didn't own boats? Are they still in business?
Most of them are custom processors or were bought out by fishermen's groups. Because there was a fishermen's quota groups got together, and then they just take over a plant, or just custom, you do all my fish, and you don't do any, they don't have any of their own. So they, you know, there's three fishermen's groups. So you take the three fishermen's groups that got together, and the three old-time fish companies, the six, they probably account for 90% of the fish. And there's probably about six more processors after that, probably 12 or 13 processors. So they, I understand that there's one additional since the time.
Follow up on that. Yeah.
It's just a follow up. So, do you have a time frame or a balancing out, an equalizing kind of time frame that you know of in these situations where processors haven't gotten allocation initially and acquired it later on?
Acquired it later on? Well, as soon as you go into an ITQ system, the next day it starts to rationalize. The entire fishery will be rationalized without one government dollar. You'll just do it internally. Either fishermen buying fishermen quota or processors buying fishermen's quota or whatever the case may be. Okay? That's just the nature of it, because in a good fluid system, I mean, I believe these are the points that we all agree on. I mean, we agree that this is the best system to go. It's just sort of the allocation problem here. But the, you know, on day two, you know, quota is worth something. It's worth it because you can transfer it around. Somebody needs some rockfish and somebody needs some sole, and you transfer things back and forth. When you're transferring back and forth, there's a attachment, 10 cents a pound or something like that. And if you want to buy the quota, there's an attachment to that. It might be 50 cents a pound or a dollar a pound, or some numbers get attached to these things because that's the way it works. You know, and so when it starts to rationalize, and then you have quota as a processor, you can attract the boats to come and fish for you. And I had a little bit of quota because I bought a license up there and my partners got me involved in it. And I attracted a boat, but it took probably, you're asking about the time frame, about how it smooths out. It took about 7 years before I was evolved out of the fishery because I don't have enough quota to hang on. Because I don't have enough quota to attract the boats and keep stuff. And those other quota groups that were big enough, and they lease their quota. So if you have, several million pounds in your quota group, and you lease some out, and you lease it out for 10 cents a pound, well, you get that money to offset your buy another quota, and you get that money to pay for the lease of the quota to put it back on boats, and all the value goes up. So if you don't have a start, you have to start with zero. And I could work you through the numbers. I did that. What it would cost for us to stay in the business. But that brings, I don't want to ramble. Sorry.
Pete, would you like to have an alternate perspective?
No.
I'd be going off topic.
Another question from a council member? Phil Anderson.
Well, first, thanks to both of you for putting yourself through this. We appreciate it. I have a question for each of you. One question for Jay and a different question for Pete. So, Pete, maybe I'll start with you. In your comments, you indicated that you thought that an IQ system would reduce bycatch and discards and would enhance stewardship. I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit more as to what are the elements of the IQ DAP program that you think would have that achieve those results.
I'm envisioning a program that's going to involve full accountability of what you catch, and rather than a system now where if you're not allowed to land fish, you're in the mode of discarding that fish. The accountability is going to force people, fishermen, to begin fishing in a manner, in a location, with a gear, in order to maintain the actual catch of species that are low levels of abundance in an appropriate level with the quota shares that they have, rather than engaging in fishing practices that may now encourage them to keep fishing for the target and discarding. I think this is stewardship because they'll be behaving far more responsibly. If fishermen cannot make that adjustment, then they are going to be penalized financially with the need of acquiring additional quota shares, or they're going to be forced to leave that fishery. To those people then, that will remain will be those that have been able to make that transition.
And follow up on that, Pete. If an IQ system included harvester shares being allocated to processors, some portion of them, how do you think that would impact the conservation benefits as it relates to reducing bycatch and discards, if any?
Well, into the extreme where a fisherman would be fishing entirely on quota shares held by a fish company and the fishermen held none of their own, I don't see that the stewardship benefits and the incentive to maintain that is going to be there. And I may be wrong. This past March, myself and others were part of a group that Sea Grant had made arrangements around the country to take a trip to New Zealand that some of you have had the opportunity to talk about. I spent with some others an additional week seeking out fishermen in New Zealand, talking about their experiences because they have experienced an enormous amount of consolidation of quota shares into the hands of fish buyers. None of them were issued shares, but they've acquired them since. And fishermen generally fishing on quota shares held by the fish companies are being told, go fishing for the target, we'll take care of the deemed a value, the penalty that they have to. And it has exacerbated the bycatch of species there. Whether that same mentality would hold here, I don't know. But I think fishermen around the world, put in the same situation, are going to behave very similarly.
Then I have a question for Jay. Jay, in your opening comments, you were talking about some of the benefits that you thought would be derived to the processing sector, or at least benefits that you hoped would result to the processing sector through a DAP program, one that I assumed would have harvester shares being allocated to, or initial shares being issued to processors. And some of those benefits that I wrote down as you were speaking related to a meaningful and equitable relationship with the fishing vessels that held quota shares, that it would provide an added incentive to work cooperatively between processors and vessel owners. Later in your comments, when you were speaking to kind of what the situation was in today's world, you talked about there's dedicated plants, dedicated boats, dedicated markets, and you were kind of rebutting this idea that there really is a lot of movement by vessels from where they sell their fish, and rebutting this analogy or perspective that Pete put forward that processors were the fisherman's customer. And so I was wondering if that is in fact the case today under today's world, where there's typically a long-standing relationship between a plant and boats and their boats, there's presumably partnerships of sorts in planning when plants want certain types of fish delivered, during what weeks, what time of the month, those kinds of things. If you think that would be eroded through a DAP program, processors did not receive harvester shares, if you think that those partnerships would no longer be as strong as they are today, and it would put the processors at a disadvantage.
Well, I didn't think I was contravailing myself there on two different points, because when I was speaking of dedicated plants, I meant set up just for ground fish, not dedicated to the boat. But would it be eroded? Probably not. Eroded, just not maximized with any kind of efficiency. We would not have the involvement, as I spoke in that earlier comment, where you would have take advantage of the conservation benefits, the value benefits, and the harvest benefits. You see, the conservation benefits boil out of, you have to fish to quota, and you have full observer programs. We're for that too. 100% on the boat observer programs. So you can't waste fish, and you can't throw them overboard, and everything comes ashore. So now you have to have a very, very strong incentive to change behavior. Because if you set back and catch too much of one thing, you can't go back and get the other thing. It is that process of managing that to market and to harvest potential, meaning your quota management, is what I believe that the processor-fisherman relationship would bring the greatest amount of efficiency to. If we just said, okay, all the harvesters get it and processors don't, as the economic tools set in and as the fishing tools set in, you know, the processors don't have a dog in that fight unless you buy in. And so it would just be sort of continuing like it is today. I mean, we wouldn't have the authority to schedule properly. I mean, right now we just, boats call up and get a date, and they just tell us they're going deep water, shallow water, and that's it. You know, and you need extreme control to manage this. And in order to get 80% of your quota out of the water, you're going to have extreme control, and you're going to have maximization between several boats and access to other quota in order to do that. And that's what I'm talking about when we bring the groups together. And you're both, and I think this would be, since you're both quota owners, you're both growing the quota asset value. That means market. That means the price of fish.
Can I just, I don't want to take up too much time. It seems to me, though, that there's a finite number of plants that have processing capabilities to receive the product that is harvested by trawlers today. And it seems to me that you are dependent on each other today, and you're going to be dependent on each other tomorrow. And this extreme control that you mentioned in your response, I'm assuming when you're talking about that extreme control, you're not talking about the processor needs to have extreme control over the harvester. You're talking about there's going to need to be a strong partnership between the plant and the mm-hmm. harvester, so that you can control the relative rates that you're harvesting different species that you have quota shares on. Is that what you meant by extreme control?
Yes. Yes. But there's nothing to stop quota groups, because you're talking about dollars and value, it can be collateralized, getting together, hiring a broker, and coming to me and say, do you want to custom process my fish or not? Or I'm going to go to this guy over here and he's going to process my fish. Because you got collateral, you got quota. I don't have quota. You know, I don't have that. So, you know, right now I've thrown in with one of the fishermen groups up there. I throw my fish in with his quota groups. And they have, and most all the companies up in Canada, BC, have dedicated person who just manages the fleet on a day-by-day and sometimes half-day basis. Now, that's a processor, because that processor person is fishing to market. And we have a calendar 2 weeks out of what each boat's supposed to be catching, and then updates, of course, as it goes along. But that's the kind of detailed control where they want to go. They're going to maximize efficiency for fuel consumption. Some boats are going to put their quota on another boat because the other guy's going to go fish hake, whatnot. I mean, so there is a lot of control that a processor would have, but the fishermen are part of that. They throw into the group, and they take their positions, and they're saying, well, I'm going to be a shallow water fisherman, and then you move all the quota over to this guy or that guy, you know, that kind of thing. But you extrapolate these plans in the long term and the short term. Short term being trip by trip, the long term being the year. And you know, for the 2006-2007, it goes to March 31st. We had to make a commitment for a year, and we put more stuff in there. And we know what we're going to do. What we're going to get. Sorry, because I don't have control. We have to ask what's going on. But yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, and it's a collaborative thing, but it is, would not have that, you know. And this doesn't, believe me, it's just not going to happen overnight. It's just not going to go, oh, one day it's going to happen. This is a time evolution that's going to happen, because once you have quota, there's going to be a rationalization period, probably 3 years, as, you know, guys will want to retire, smaller quota amounts, you have a choice. Buy in or get out. I supported a guy. He started off with 500,000. He had to buy himself up to over a million. You know, you can only fish 80% efficiency, so do the math and you can figure out how much of a growth stock you need to live on. He needed more fish and so forth and so on. You go out and lease and you get in the game. You know, and that's one other point that I forgot here, that I forgot totally, is that through all this there needs to be transitions, and there needs to be new people coming along, and you're going to have methodologies of, of that, and the processor helps in that a lot. I'm getting new folks involved in the business, or helping, I should say.
Pete, do you want to offer any alternate perspectives on any of that?
Well, just picking up on Jay's last comment, new people coming along, in my mind, also applies to the people involved in the fish processing business. Mm-hmm. Having some new competition entering in, and anything that's going to act as a constraint to that is not good. And when Jay talked about boat groups getting together and making an arrangement with somebody else to buy their fish, I assume that they're doing that because they can get paid more money by selling their fish in that arrangement. And that increases the net economic value of this fishery. And that is also good.
Kurt Melcher.
Thank you, Dr. McIsaac. This question is for Pete. Pete, you made the point, I think, during your opening remarks that this is a commercial venture with and everyone has investment at risk. And then you went on to hypothesize that perhaps under with processor-owned quota share that there may not be as great a conservation benefit associated with that as a result of the fishing practices. And so my question to you is then, am I to infer from that that the only way to realize these conservation benefits or to maximize these conservation benefits is to have the quota owner also present on the vessel?
I think the further away from the vessel that the quota ownership occurs, the further away from that direct control and link to the conservation benefit occurring at sea exists. Okay. I don't know that you necessarily, in every case, has to have the quota owner on the vessel. But I think that as you distance yourself from the boat, that conservation link diminishes.
Jay, any other perspective?
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. I think that as a quota holder, I am intimately involved and concerned that it's used properly and it gets the maximum benefit out of that. And I will oversee that, and I'm not on the boat, but we monitor it delivery by delivery. And you look at that, and you foul up, you over-harvest something, you're off. You can't go fishing anymore until you clear up your overreach. And so, the system is self-righting in the sense is that the stringent penalties are there. You know, and let's face it, we're capitalists. It's an economic-based thing. You over-harvest or you do something that penalizes your utilization of that quota, it's gone. I mean, you can't go back out fishing to get the rest of it. Substantial incentive.
Brad Moore.
Thank you, Don. To follow up on what Kurt asked, Pete, you said... Now, you've made this relationship between conservation and permit holder. You've talked about there's no conservation benefit from allocating quota to a processor. And you mentioned the New Zealand experience, and unfortunately I didn't get to join you on that second week, only on the first week, so I didn't get to taste all the good wine.
Oh,
that's too bad. I'm sorry.
Get a lot of lamb.
Did Ancona get it all, or what? but that seems to lead me to think that what you're saying is that at no time ever would there be a conservation benefit from a processor owning any harvester quota. And if that's the case, does it make sense to effectively limit transferability, which I think is almost what Kurt was getting at with the owner on board thing, but limit transferability of shares so they can only be transferred among fishermen. They can't ever go to processors. Is that what you're suggesting?
I certainly
or anybody else other than processors.
Well, certainly other people have suggested that. I have not. I have not advocated putting constraints on transferability or ownership. Of these shares. There are certainly, as you know, there are other systems where owner on board is a requirement, the Pacific halibut fishery, for example. and the people that have advocated that in that situation were doing it specifically to prevent ownership of being held by fish processors. And the program that we've designed, we've not put those types of constraints on, so that if a person in the fish processing business wishes to acquire shares, they could. They're not limited in acquiring shares. I think my initial suggestion is that there is no immediate conservation benefit based upon issuing the shares to the processors. That in itself doesn't provide additional conservation benefits. The conservation benefits come from the fact that we've established an IFQ system.
So if I can just follow up to that one, then I have a brief one for Jay. So just to be clear, what you're saying then is that it's the existence of an IQ system that provides for conservation, that initial allocation to processors wouldn't provide any additional conservation benefits, but there's no problem if on the day after you get an IQ share, you turn around and sell it to a processor, because the IQ system is going to protect the conservation benefit. Did I get that right?
The conservation benefits comes through having an IFQ system. There's clearly, that is the benefit. It can be argued that, as I've said, the further you distance yourself from the people who are actually operating the vessel, that there's the potential to degrade that conservation benefit through lack of concern. Jay disagrees with that, and you know, there's no proof of this.
Sure.
It's not true
sure.
One way or the other.
And my question to Jay.
Rob, before you ask your question
sorry.
Of Jay, do you have the opportunity to add a difference?
If a processor got share on before day one or on day one, the conservation, it doesn't matter. So when you were saying that there's no conservation benefit, additional conservation benefit for giving it to processors, you could also say there is no adverse effects for giving it to processors. Would that be true?
I wasn't trying to say anything. I was trying to understand what Pete was trying to say.
All right.
If that's your response, I mean, that's...
Can I ask you a question?
No, sorry.
No.
But no, I'm going to ask you a question. No. Going back to the customer-supplier issue here, the customer or the supplier and the demander, if you will, we can use supply and demand. We've seen reduction in fleet size as a result of natural attrition. We've seen it from buyback. Presumably, we would see further attrition in fleet size as a result of consolidation amongst the fleet from an IQ program, because, you know, as you guys say, on day two, everything starts to rationalize, and so you get smaller number of vessels. We've seen consolidation on the processing side from a whole variety of reasons. But as a... Do I understand that what you're trying to get at is that as a smaller processor, in order to ensure that you stay in business on day two, when this rationalization is occurring, you need access to fish because there's a smaller fleet, and that fleet is going to go sort of where the money is or where the best opportunity is, the best economic opportunity is, and it's not necessarily to you. It may be to somebody bigger, maybe to somebody smaller. But as a processor, as a small to medium-sized processor, for you to be able to stay when that rationalization occurs, you need access to fish in order to attract more fish across your dock, essentially. Is that part of what you've been saying here?
Yes.
Thank you. It's a short answer.
One of the longest questions of all time and one of the shortest answers.
Well, I mean, do you want a rundown?
That's just the
fact of life in an allocation-type system. If you're not dealt in, you're dealt out. And if you can't afford to buy in, then you eventually deal out. I mean, you know, That's just the way it works. And so, you know, I'm nearing that magical age of potential retirement. And I've got three sons that, this is the full story now, sorry. But they're going to have to sit and make up our long-term business plan. And the two plants combined do about 16 million pounds, or could, given the reduced amount of workers we have. But in order to secure 16 million pounds, you're going to need 8 million pounds of quota to track 50-50. If day one, the quota is worth 50 cents a pound, that's $4 million I'd have to find somewhere. And I would be stretched to think that my sons were going to finance that up to the hill. It has nothing to do with building plants
and
risk assessment. So that's just a short answer, or the longer answer of, yeah, that's correct. Small guys will have a very difficult time being anything other than a custom processor.
Pete, do you want to offer any alternative perspective?
Yeah, just a couple comments on, as the IQ system unfolds, there's certainly the capacity, the potential to consolidate the fishing effort further. But we've already gone through an enormous capacity reduction program. The boats that left, 35% of the fleet, accounted for roughly 50% of the catch of all the non-whiting ground fish. And so the types of experiences that have occurred in other fisheries where IFQ systems have been put in place specifically to try to address capacity consolidation goals, I don't think that we're going to experience. I think we've already undergone the major reduction. The people that remained in the fishery didn't submit bids to even try to get out. They wanted to remain and enjoy the benefits of having access to the fish that had been caught by those people in the buyback program. And as far as someone coming along and offering higher prices and attracting boats away, that could happen now. I'd like to see it happen now, but it's not. And so I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, or should be, that it's day one of an IFQ system that it's going to begin.
Gordy Williams.
Yes, for Jay. Let's say that you're granted quota, or you get some quota, or you accumulate some later, and you and maybe some associates, you have enough to, I think you said, to be a player, to be able to attract boats. Could you kind of walk through how you would go about that? How does that work, the lease arrangement with fishermen? How do you go out and attract fishermen, and what's typically involved in kind of the lease arrangement, or the fishing arrangement that a processor would make?
Well, we would make, if we had quota, we would assign it to find the boats that you work with. The ones up in Canada, we had to search around and given some good advice about who has good equipment, take care of their fish, and who is looking for additional quota. And then you assign it to that vessel, and they sign up to work for you. And that's the way it goes. It goes by lease, if that's what you're talking about. You lease the fish to them, and it depends upon what you're leasing. If you're leasing uncut quota, or you're leasing cut quota. Uncut quota is just what you were given on your license. You know, the boat license has a specie list on it, and if it's uncut, you get the dogfish, the skates, all the everything. If it's cut quota, you just lease them specifically green rockfish or trolley sole or something like that. But what you typically do, you sign it up for a year at a time, and up in Canada you have the GDA, which means you get your fleet of boats, and you've got to write each one of them down, and you've got to write each what all they're going to get to your plant, and you've got 8 principles by which you're going to live up to, and then they give you some holdback money. But you do, fish, but you know, you do make an arrangement with that boat, and they're good for a year. And the end of the year, they can split. Quota comes back, and we do it again, back and forth, on a lease.
So in terms of the lease, then you would kind of, you know, direct fishing and that kind of control that you...
Oh, yeah. During the time? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had like 3 or 4 boats under lease, and then we'd make arrangements about who would go out and fish deep water, meaning the kinkies and short spines and long spines. Or the black cod frozen at sea. We had a boat that could freeze at sea. And then we'd have some boats that would fish, and then you'd fish to market, you know, fish around our other boats, because our other boats, meaning American boats, we had, you know, first of a cycle, we're 30-day or 60-day cycles, and so you'd have different things, and you'd try to work the boats in accordingly. But you have control over when they're going to fish and where they're going to fish. We didn't have it personally, so I've not had it as good as the fleet group I'm involved in now, in the sense that they micromanage by tow almost, you know.
Pete, do you have any other perspective,
no.
Comments? Any other questions from council members? Second round here. Go ahead.
Jay, the you have two plants, correct? One in Bellingham and one in Astoria. And you have trawl boats that fish for one or both those plants, deliver to those plants. Is that true?
You talking about me personally?
Yeah.
I have one boat?
No, I don't mean you personally, but
what do you mean? I have boats fish for both of them, yeah.
You have boats that fish, that you have a relationship with that have delivered to your plants?
Yes.
Plant or plants?
Well, yeah. Actually, people.
People?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, remember, we were bought back. Almost all our boats were bought back until the people went back and re-bought boats. So, it's the relationship with people that's important.
Okay. The relationship you've had, have you had some relationships with individuals who've delivered fish to you over a long period of time?
Absolutely. And that will continue afterwards if you're going to ask that question.
And if a DAP program went through and quota shares were only given to the harvesters, mm-hmm. what incentive would those harvesters have to leave you, to end their long-standing relationship that they've had with you and delivering their fish to your plants? What additional incentive would they have under that scenario that they don't have today that might harm your operation?
One scenario could be grouping up with a group of other group of quota, because you can move quota anywhere you want. That would be one. And going someplace else, having a custom process. I don't see that happening, by the way. And I was, what I see is really in the first year or so, that because there's only so many plants around already, you've already spoke about the consolidation in the West Coast, it will take a little bit of time for the steam to get going in terms of rationalizing all of the quota here. But what I see for the threat from Bornsteins is transition when we get older and the next generation starts coming in, because what are you going to do with your quota? You're not going to just keep it. You usually sell it. And when they sell it or lease it out to some places, that's when I see the vulnerabilities start to take place. And we've had really good, long, strong relationship, particularly in Bellingham. We've got a few down in Oregon, too. But those forces won't come into play right off the bat. But as others can offer incentives, I'll put more quota on your boat. Come fish over here. When those kinds of things start to take place in after transitions, is when the stresses come from somebody who sits there idle and doesn't have quota to match. So I don't think relationships will just bust right apart, but I think in transitions, the natural economic evolution of quota management will force those things. And it's not this, I'm going to derive, you know, if we owned all the quota, I'm going to drive more out of the boats, and if the boats own more all the quota, they're going to drive it all out of the companies. I don't think that's going to happen that way. You know, I just think that the natural forces of economics, of administration of economics, because it doesn't stand still, if we don't stand there, and you're not going to say, you have to own the quota until you die, and when you die, it goes back to the state, and the state's going to reissue it. It doesn't work that way. You know, when you retire, you sell it off. And then you get to sell your boat, too. They don't even take it. But you get to sell it off. And that's when they knock on the door and saying, this happened twice. They knock on the door and they're saying, I want you to buy my quota. You started me. You built my boat. This happened in Canada. I built the Ocean Selector up. Another company came to them and offered them a whole bunch of money, lots. And I said, God bless you guys. You've earned it. And they left. And it was a really a sad day because it was people, that got broken up. And then when the Frosty, when I lost the Frosty, that was another emotional day. Because I'm still partners in other things with them. So it's not their fault, and it's not my fault. It's the evolution, the normal evolution of economics as it moves forward in an allocation-based fishery based on dollars and cents. A pound is worth something. It's worth something. And when that something is raised up, because we're working at it to raise it up, when it gets raised up, somebody else has to afford it to stay in. That's gotta get back to the new guys. It's tough. It's tough.
Pete, do you have any other perspectives? Okay. We have time for maybe one or two more questions? From any council member? Frank.
One of the other points that you made, actually both of you made in your opening statements and on other questions was the issue of investments and under a new system everyone has different level investments and it's going to affect them differently, and I guess the question is granting harvester shares to processors the only way that we could deal with the investment issue, the potential loss of investment that processors would experience under an IQ system. So I guess it's mostly to Jay, but I think Pete may also have some comments on that as well. I don't know.
I haven't studied long enough.
Okay.
I've just been so focused on this particular aspect.
I don't see that the IQ system is putting those investments at risk. I don't see that it's going to cause a loss of that investment. If as Jay has suggested, that it occurred in Canada where fishermen got together as a boat group and approached a company to buy them out and take over a plant, they're being compensated. If they're being asked just to custom pack, they're covering all their costs. They're still working, still operating, they're making a profit on custom packing. It may not be the profits that they would have made if they had purchased the product themselves and processed it and sold and marketed it, but they're still making money. They're still in business. So I don't see this as something that is causing a loss of investment.
Okay, well, let's move to the final segment of the evening, the opportunity for both the presenters to make some closing statements. So this is your opportunity to say anything that comes to mind that you'd like the council members to remember. You're open for anything. Each of you has 5 minutes. Pete, we'll start with you, and Jay, you'll go second.
Well, I'm not going to take 5 minutes. I just reiterate that the issuing of harvesting shares to the processors is going to involve reallocation of this resource that is currently allocated to harvesters. You're going to be taking fish away from one group and giving it to another. And just the way this business is structured, not every fisherman is going to have an opportunity to harvest some of that fish that would go to fish processors. And those fishermen are then at a disadvantage. They're going to be paying in this buyback program for something that they're likely not to have a benefit for. They're going to be economically put under great pressure because of the lack of the resource available to them, and likely they're going to be put in the position of having to exit this fishery and sell their quota share. This is not what they bought into when they voted in a referendum to approve the loan for the buyback program. They thought that they were going to, into the future, reap the benefits of that loan that they were voting yes on and approving and assuming that debt. In the event that somehow a quota share system does change those relationships that have been discussed here between processors and fishermen that have existed forever and I believe will continue to exist, it's only going to change because someone is willing to come along and offer more money for the product that is currently being sold. And that's a good thing. This is how we begin to increase the value of fish in this fishery. The ex-vessel price for most ground fish species hasn't changed in over 20 years. And when you take into account the inflation, the purchasing power that fishermen have as a result of what they receive from selling their product, couple it with a decline in quotas, people are hurting, and they're looking for some alternatives. And so if someone wants to come along and offer them more, I can't help but say this is good. Thank you.
Jay?
I didn't realize that if currently the quota has already been allocated to harvesters, what are we here for? Why are we here talking? Are we just here to try to talk about taking away? I mean, that's an unfair balance. We're trying to derive a system and come up with the best alternatives, not frame it as if one is taking away from the other. We're looking in an EIS statement, and we're hoping to keep in that statement the 50-50, the 25-75, and whatnot, all for analysis, not starting with the premises is already 100% allocated, and all we're merely doing is taking away. And I want to go back and just simply say we must, looking at that stools with three legs, because we must commit to transitioning into an IQ system where all three legs of that stool, harvesting, processing, and the market, are dedicated to achieving the IQ benefits, as we had been talking about. And you can help make that possible by supporting an equitable allocation to processors. At least we urge you to allow the EIS to analyze and to proceed with the analysis of all shareholders, processors, and fishermen equally. Thank you.
Thanks to both of you. You've been of great service to the council. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn the meeting back over to you.
Thank you, Dr. McIsaac. I, too, would like to thank Jay and Pete both. I made a phone call and asked them if they would do this, and they both said without any hesitation they would do it. So, and it was not a debate. It was a very good discussion. I think everybody in the room heard plenty of good points out of this. And so, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, for being so polite, would you please applaud these gentlemen for a job they did? And now Dr. McIsaac handed me a note and said, I please buy everybody a drink. No, I will not please buy everybody a drink. So.
Oh, come on, Dan.
So thank you all. Good night.
All right.